This is the bread that came down from heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful and dear children, today we start our 40 hours devotion. We have received from God the gift of life, of health, and of strength, making us able to enjoy the peace of heaven on earth and to adore our Redeemer present in the sacrament of the altar. This 40 hours devotion takes place every year in our St. Gertrude the Great Church. Some of our dear parishioners who have died in the past year are no longer with us to give their thanksgiving to God. Some others tonight are lying in their sick beds, and how they would love to be here tonight. Others, our virtual congregation, they are kept away by too great a distance and can only join us through the internet broadcast. How they too would love to be here tonight. But there are also many others, people of the world, who go on their busy lives in work, politics, sports, or so on, paying no attention to the Catholic religion. They go on with their lives without the bread which has come down from heaven. These people are truly the victims of famine, victims of starvation. We here are the fortunate ones, the blessed ones. We have been given bread from heaven as our nutrition to carry us on our way to everlasting life. This famine of the unfortunate people who suffer of the famine for the bread of heavenly life reminds me of the short story named Street Dust. It tells about two girls, Priska, who is 12, and Petronilla, who is 10. They lived within sight of Rome, and their mother had just died. They mourned and wailed their mother for whole day and night, until when the sun rose, the elder Priska said to her sister, "There is nothing to eat." There was nothing in their poor hut, not a crust, not a crumb. Priska decided to go to Rome with Petronilla to sell flowers. Priska did not want to leave her dead mother's body, but there was no help for it, she said to herself. Hunger was gnawing her like 100 wolves, but her mother would have told her to get food for Petronilla before all things. So she set her steps towards Rome, taking her little sister's hand in hers. When they arrived at Rome and saw all the hustle and bustle of the busy streets, they thought it was terrible. It frightened them, and without her mother, Priska felt as if she should never have the courage to ask for a coin for the flowers. She went to a shop on the street. "Would you buy them?" she asked timidly, and uncovered her basket. One of the men in the shop pushed her out on to the pavement. "Do not come here with your dead weeds, dirtying and dripping on our floor," he said angrily. Two communal guards came and took the girls to station, saying, "The streets must be cleared of these vermin." As the guard spoke, he struck the children on their shoulders with the flat of his sword. He pushed them onward in greater haste until they reached the police station, and there, without more explanation or any compassion, they were thrown into the lockup. In the middle of the night, one of the prisoners awoke, arousing dreadful cries, "Shall we be here all night with nothing to eat?" Priska, whose ears had caught the word "eat," listened where she lay in the peak of her terror. If only she could get some bread for her sister. But when silence alone answered the prisoner's question, she understood there was no hope of any food that night. It was late in the morning when the two children were brought before the commissary. He looked at them with a vague pity. There were scores of similar children in the prison and penitentiaries since the recent laws against vagrancy had been set in motion. He felt unwilling to add these miserable little creatures to the number. "You may go," he said to them. "I will not send you before the tribunal this time, but if you be found again in Rome, no mercy will be shown you." The children were pushed outside and thrust through the entrance doorway into the open air. Prisca did not know where she was. Her little sister was like a log drag along, and Prisca felt her own limbs quivering under her, and the chills and heats of fever turn through her veins. They were locking the gate they had entered the city, but they were hopelessly lost. Prisca dragged her frozen feet along over the stones in a belief that she was going towards the gate and the open country, but in reality she had turned away from it. She often went over the same ground again and again in circles, like a child lost in a forest, and she was always farther and farther from her goal. At last she found a deserted church dedicated to Saint Jerome, which was about to be demolished in a few weeks. With one last effort, Prisca carried her sister onto the steps and dragged her upward until they each leaned against the door. The hours passed, no one came there. Delirious fancies passed across Prisca's mind. She saw her mother and the Blessed Virgin, hand in hand, come towards her. But they were angry to her and said, "Hast thou allowed your little sister to starve?" Then she cried out aloud and tried to lift up Petronilla's head, but she could not. It was heavy as a stone. Then she ceased to dream and ceased to feel while her little sister laid upon her knees. They remained there all day and all the night, locked in each other's arms. In the morning some scavengers found them sitting there. They had been dead many hours. They were taken to the mortuary house, and because no one recognized them, they were carried to the common ditch in which the poor and nameless lie. Dear faithful, this horrid picture is truly like in our times, the time of coldness to the love of our Lord. Even more than we live in times of immorality and the loss of faith, we live in a time of famine. Even many of our own faithful and our virtual congregation, many of them cannot regularly satisfy their hunger for the Holy Eucharist, the bread which came down from heaven, our home. The human soul is hungry and thirsty for truth, and only our Lord can satisfy this hunger and quench this thirst. Being deprived of the heavenly food of the Holy Eucharist is bad enough, but he who does not even believe in the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist has no part in him. How many people mock this blessed heavenly bread, either in words or in disrespect, like the shop owner, "Do not come here with your dead weeds dirtying and dripping on our floor." People who do not believe or who willingly reject the Holy Eucharist, they have no part in our Lord because they do not believe in the divinity of Christ. Today is also the feast of Saint Ursula and her companions. What a contrast was she to the coldness which dominated her time as well. Saint Ursula was a teacher, and mothers and fathers sent their children to her. She taught the children how to be good citizens and good Christians. She had a fine school for them in England, but then that country was attacked by the terrible pagan army. They threatened to kill all Catholics. So Saint Ursula took her students and her other teachers and escaped with them to France. But once again she met peril. The terrible Huns came with their armies and threatened to kill all the Catholics. So they captured Saint Ursula and her children. The Huns told Ursula to hand over the children to them to be their slaves. She refused. Then the Huns offered to let them all go free if they would give up Christ and the Catholic faith. They all unanimously refused. So the army of the Huns drew their swords, pulled back their bows and arrows, and killed Ursula and all her young companions. And as glorious martyrs, they went straight to heaven. It is those kinds of Catholics you must be, dear faithful. The people who do not care about the Catholic faith, who willingly stay away from the Mass and the sacraments, they are starving themselves and their children to death. Like with Prisca, hunger is gnawing them and their children like 100 wolves, but they do not care, and eventually winter will come, and it will be too late for them. Our time is the time of famine, hunger for bread of heaven. What a blessing it is that you, dear faithful, are still free to both practice your holy faith and teach it to your children and children's children. Remember to be thankful of this freedom, because it might not last forever. The evil Huns might come to you as well. Should that time ever come, have you strengthened yourself and your children with your holy Catholic faith and the sacraments and the Catholic education, as Saint Ursula and her children had? Or have you starved yourself and your children defenseless? It is truly the sad fate for those who have willingly chosen the path of famine and starvation. Like in Prisca's dream, they will have Our Lady's words ringing in their ears, "Hast thou allowed your child to starve?" He who receives the body and blood of our Lord worthily has, in his own words, everlasting life, and he will be raised up by him. His corpse will not be left as a victim for scavengers and dumped into the ditch of fire. The body of Christ is a living bread from heaven, which gives us supernatural and everlasting life, and is a pledge to our bodies of a glorious resurrection. So, dear faithful, make good use of your life. Do not repay the love of your God with ingratitude. As it is said in the sacred scripture, "Give thanks whilst thou art living, whilst thou art alive, and in health thou shalt give thanks, and shalt praise God, and shalt glory in his mercies." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.